Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time, a little after 10:07 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. I am very happy to be here today. Happy March. Happy eclipse. I'm sure if you listen to CA, you learned all about that. She also wrote a great article in this week's Power Peak about just her articles in the Power Peak are just incredible. And then the daily things. So it's an auspicious day. We're having a solar eclipse. So, and on top of it, the best part, forget about March, forget about the eclipse. It's raining. It's raining here in Denver. And it rained probably, I think it's supposed to go for another hour or so. I mean, it's not like we had a downpour that lasted hours, but it was probably an hour. And it's still supposed to continue a bit, maybe more into this evening. So that is cause for celebration. It feels so good. And rain, I think, is so healing. You know, it just clears the air on many levels, you know, not just because it washes down stuff that's hanging up in the air, especially when it's been windy, you know, just kind of gets rid of that. But it also just is cleansing for the soul, I think. I think rain is the loveliest. Rain and snow. I really like snow too. But anyway, just celebrating the rain, enjoying it, and enjoying it, hearing it on the roof. But I just want to start with a really cute little, I guess, kiss on the cheek from God's story. Just a story about being supported. A supply. That's what, you know, when I call them kisses on the cheek from God, because they're little blessings. But what they are really at their basis is supply. And supply is a spiritual thing. Supply is a spiritual principle. It is God in you. That is supply, because God is. So whatever it is, whatever you need, it's what you need, when you need, as you need it. Whatever it is, because it all exists within you, because you are the individualization of Source. And Source is the source of everything, source of supply. So I can't remember exactly when it was. It was later last week, maybe Thursday, Friday morning. Grace and I were getting ready to go out for our walk. And I was just kind of thinking that morning, or maybe it was the day before, just about it, you know, being out in life. And I've talked about this many times before, because I'm self-employed. I work from home. I work on the phone. And most days it's just me and Grace, you know, me and Grace. And so, you know, I've been doing more and more things to get out and be with people, like, you know, going to the grocery store, Sprouts, which I like. I'm not going to King Supers. I can tell you that. That's not my cup of tea. But going out and doing that, I'm having lunch tomorrow with two old friends. We worked together when we worked for Colorado Bankers Mortgage. So, and that closed 20 years ago, almost 21 years ago. So Laura and I see each other. We make a point to see each other every few months. But we're having lunch with a good friend of ours, Frank, tomorrow, and we're all meeting in an Italian restaurant in North Denver where I grew up. So what could be better? So that'll be a lot of fun. And anyway, I was just thinking about, you know, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to get more social. I don't. I mean, I have people that, friends that we keep in contact with, but everybody has a life. So it was one of those things that I just, you know, I looked at it and I went, you know, it is what it is right now. It is what it is. So I gave it away, you know, acceptance. I do listen to my own shows and read my own notes. So I thought, just let it go, you know, accept what is and where I am. And so we walk out the door, and a lot of times we'll pass people on our walks, Grace and I on our walk in the morning. We pass people and wave or say hello, but not many opportunities. People, if they have a dog, unless they know us, will go to the other side of the street, because that's what everybody's done now since COVID. And so you never know. So it might just be a wave and a little shout out of good morning. But we walked out of our gate and we're getting ready to head up the street. And this guy with this giant dog was just past our driveway. So heading to the same direction that we would head out. But this dog, I've never seen the guy or the dog before. He does live in the neighborhood on the other side of the park, he told me. But this dog was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous. He was tall and white with these really interesting markings, and he had an Akita tail, the fluffy tail that whips over their back. So I'm thinking he's got to be part Akita. Well, I have a really good friend who is in the process of trying to get an Akita puppy. And I told her about this dog, and she said, he's an American Akita. They're smooth because the rest of his fur was very smooth. And he had kind of a squarer shaped face. So she said, their American Akitas are part Mastiff or, and that's exactly what he looked like. That's exactly the shape of his face. But he was all white, these beautiful markings. And when we walked out, I'm watching Grace. I'm following Grace. So they're like at the house on the sidewalk at the house next door. And she turns around, sees the dog, and she always whines, like, that's my best friend. I need to go talk. She does that with every dog we pass. But anyway, the dog just stopped and was absolutely fixed on Grace. But not, I mean, he was just stopped. His posture was not like, I want to eat you. You look like a snack because she weighs 11 pounds, but just curious, just really curious. And I said good morning to the guy whose name is Tim, I learned. And the dog wasn't moving. And he was trying to pull the dog. And again, this dog is big. And I said, can she say hi? And he said, well, she can try. He said, he's very young and we're trying to get him socialized. So Grace walks over to him, gets up on her hind legs, and gives him a kiss on the nose. And he just stood there and let her do it. It was the sweetest thing I have ever seen. And she gets down and then she gets her stick and she's ready to go on her walk. And then he turns into Big Puppy, and how they go into that pounce mode. So anyway, Tim and I said hello. We got each other's names. The dog's name was something like Anchor, like a real macho name, like a Bruce Willis Die Hard movie kind of name. But he was so sweet, and that was just the neatest experience. And we got to meet two people. She got to meet a dog. I got to meet Tim, say hello, and that was a cool thing. So that was like a little answer to, being out in life and meeting people, right? So then we go on our walk, and as we're heading back toward the house, we walk about 30 minutes, and we're on our trek back to the house. We see crossing the street, at the corner ahead of us, this it, it was it's a he's a bulldog, I think, a smaller bulldog, but still a good sized bulldog, and black and white, same color scheme as the other big dog. And his owner, a guy, young guy, is walking him, and he's walking, the dog's kind of walking behind him. The dog looks at Grace. And they're in the street, right? They're in the street trying to get across the street. And first he sits down and waits for Grace to get to the corner. And his owner's going, come on, let's go, let's go. And then he lays down and he just laid there and waited for Grace to come. And it was the funniest thing. I walked up there and I was just laughing. I said, that is the cutest thing. I love it. She has another little boyfriend dog named Jack, oh, I can't think of what he is, a terrier. He's a terrier, but schnauzer. He's a schnauzer, little white schnauzer named Jack, and he'll do that. He'll just lay down and wait for Grace to catch up. But I mean, this guy is trying to get this dog out of the street and he couldn't get him. And I was laughing. And the dog's name, first of all, is Hot Sauce. And I'd met Hot Sauce when Hot Sauce was a little puppy last summer. But he's waiting for Grace. And Grace, it's so funny. I mean, she had no problems with that big dog. But with dogs that look like bulldogs, because my niece has a bulldog and kind of ran all over Grace when Grace was little, she stays away from them. So she wasn't her kiss on the face self then. But it was just the cutest thing. And his owner's name was Sean, and we were talking, and he told me his first dog was a Bichon, and how stubborn and funny and loving they are. But anyway, so that was just fantastic. That was just, we met two people, two dogs, and it was just a great walk. It was a great, 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 happy walk. And then I went to Sprouts later on for groceries, and one of the women that worked there, we were chatting up, and it was like when I was driving home from Sprouts, it's like, there we go. That was just exactly what I needed. Just a little bit of communication, being in other people's energy and enjoying it. So, I'm always provided for. That's the truth of it. In whatever way I need, I am always, always, always provided for. And I like to share those stories with you because, again, when you notice good things, when you notice and celebrate and are grateful for good things, more good things happen. They just do because you get what you give. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you. This show is live on 12radio.com and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, you could do it at 12radio.com. Just click chat. And or you can, if you go there, you can also click the YouTube link posted under my banner. So, or you can subscribe to my channel. You just go to www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. And I don't do readings on the show, but if you would like a reading or healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. Usually available later morning, Pacific time into the evening. If you don't see me, or if I happen to be on another call, you can just schedule a call, put in a call back request. I'm notified immediately, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. And I will always do my best to meet your schedule if you schedule a call. And just my reminder of all things that I remind you of every Tuesday morning. We do have reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and the 12th of each month. If you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And while you're there, post what you're grateful for on the gratitude board. You can do it anonymously. We, the advisors at 12listen, add our intention, our attention, and intention along with yours to what you are grateful for. So it's a way we can support you, and I encourage you to use it. And I have my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session available. It will be available through spring. Spring is right around the corner. I know it's not today, but it's only a few weeks away officially. And spring symbolizes new beginnings. Spring and fall symbolize change, but spring is new beginnings. Nature comes back to life, and it's just phenomenal to watch. And we can use this session in any way you wish, but this is a great time to use the momentum of the season to just release limitations, limiting beliefs, old baggage, anything that's in your space that's not serving you, so that you're available for new opportunities. So it's a good session and a happy time in springtime. So I just want to say thank you again for listening, however and whenever you do. There is programming on 12 Radio 24/7, and there are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. 12 Radio is a great source of inspiration, information, and support, so I invite you to take advantage. And right now, I just want to say thank you to Serena for producing the show today. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a few minutes of a song called Atma Victu by Royki. This is from the World Groove Mix, Volume 1, and Sequoia Records. So enjoy it. That's our little segue into the teaching segment. Enjoy it for a few minutes, and I'll be back right after. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You're listening to Empowerment. Thanks for being here. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I don't know if you could hear me talking to Serena. We have a different way of doing our show. And so I'm still kind of fumbly with it. So if you heard me talking to her and asking her if she heard me, it's just working out the kinks, which there are no kinks. It's just, I need to figure out what I'm doing. But welcome back. Oh, good. Oh, she just told me they couldn't hear me. You couldn't hear me. Good. I'm glad. So I explained all that for nothing. So anyway, I am really excited about talking to you again today. I'm going to continue sharing just wisdom from different wise men today using the Four Agreements, the book by Don Miguel Ruiz, as topics, as principles, better than topics. The Four Agreements are powerful spiritual concepts. I mean, they've been around forever, but the way he teaches, and it's a wonderful book. I mean, I'm barely scratching the surface of what he has to say. But the thing that amazes me is how they expand when I look at them and when it kind of when it kind of hits, you know, when I have an understanding of what he's saying. And so many of them, obviously, I mean, I've studied for over 30 years. So it's like, oh, that's a different way to say that. Don't take things personally. Acceptance was a big part of that. And over the past 2 weeks, the two shows prior, the first week, we did Be Impeccable with Your Word, which is the first agreement. And we talked about the power of the word and how whatever we say, he talks about being impeccable with your word. Impeccable means without sin. And when we say things to hurt someone or we criticize or we gossip or whatever it is, we're only ever sinning against ourselves, because there is no one. There is one, period. There is God. So, you know, when we do that, this is a relative world, right? Whatever we put out, we're going to get back. Last week, we covered the second, which is don't take anything personally. And as I said a second ago, acceptance ended up being a big player in that agreement. And so we talked about that. Today, we're continuing with the third agreement, which is don't make assumptions. And I just have to grab a cough drop for a second and take a swallow of tea so I can talk for the next half hour. The third agreement is don't make assumptions. And our topic is assumption, judgment, and self-concept. And those judgment and self-concept, you wouldn't think about making assumptions that those things, well, you would judgment. But self-concept is an interesting thing. So we're going to go through and just look at don't make assumptions using certainly what Don Miguel Ruiz wrote, but also bringing in Stuart Wilde, Neville Goddard, and just other people talking about them and the different aspects that showed up for me as I was working with that agreement. So anyway, let's start. It's been a fun journey, and there's one more agreement to go next week. Not next week. CA is my guest next week, so the week after that. So Ruiz wrote, we have the tendency to make assumptions about everything. The problem with making assumptions is that we believe their truth. We make assumptions about what others are doing or thinking. We take it personally. Then we blame them and react by sending emotional poison with our word. So there's a circle right there, right? A net that we've caught ourselves in, and it makes perfect sense. So first of all, I want to talk about assumption and judgment, because I feel that the basis of assumptions is judgment. And our judgments are a product of our ego, and our ego is a product of our influences, prenatal, early childhood, education, and life experience. They are the filters that humans perceive everything through. We never have a new or uninfluenced experience, because that's just the way the human mind works. It's just the way it works. So we size things and people up and proceed according to how we've judged them to be. Again, based on our prior experience, based on the associative mind, the ego, telling us, uh-oh, I don't know, I don't think it's safe, or I don't think that person's safe, I don't know, because of course the ego just wants to keep us safe and separate. But judging, it is just, we do it without even thinking about it. And I have to say, there is a difference, certainly, between judgment and discernment. We have to be discerning, you know, but talking about judgment is when we judge people personally. And discerning is more like, does this seem to be the right way for me to go? Does this, you know, I've looked at this, something's not quite clicking with me. I don't have a total green light, so I don't know, maybe I need to investigate more, or maybe I just need to pass. That's discernment, and it's important to be discerning. And that's more not, not really, I don't think, where people are concerned, but where things are concerned. Yeah, what we allow into our space, what we allow into our space, to be discerning about that is an important thing to do. But back to judgment. Stuart Weil wrote, when we judge and criticize people personally, we define reality and engage the ego. We define reality and engage the ego. Now, that's an incredible sentence, I think. And then he goes on to say, light couldn't exist if there were no darkness in which it could shine. Goodness can't exist if there's no evil with which to compare it. So everything is relative. Everything is relative. He also said that when we judge anything, we drop to the level of the thing we judge. And the reason is because we cannot recognize in another what we are not conscious of. We can only experience what we have the consciousness for. So, of course, when we judge something as bad, what happens? What happens to our energy? We can feel that. Then that becomes a weight that we're toting around with us. It's just not worth it. It's cause and effect is what it is. It's car instant karma. Instant karma. Florence Scovel Shinn calls them boomerangs because when we send those out, they're going to come back to us. Because again, we give what we get. What we give, we get. I should say, we get what we give. And that's it. In every moment we exist, we get what we give to it, what we invest in it. So it's always happening. It's always happening. Ruiz wrote, it is always better to ask questions than to make an assumption, because assumptions set us up for suffering. We make all sorts of assumptions, but because we don't have the courage to ask questions. Now, that's another thing to ponder, right? So he was talking about relationships, assumption in relationships, making assumptions in relationships. He talks about how we suffer in our relationships because we assume that our partner or other people close to us know what we want or need. And when they don't, we take it personally and get hurt or angry and feel like they failed us or that they don't love us as much as they should. When we didn't communicate our needs. Now that's pretty egotistical, isn't it? You should know exactly what, if you loved me, you'd know exactly, you could read my mind. You'd know exactly what I need when I need it. You'd know what to say to me, you'd know what to do for me, and you would do it instantly. That's a load of crap. I mean, really, seriously, it's totally on us to communicate, as is everything. And, thinking about that, no, assuming that people know what we need or what we're missing or whatever. A funny story came into my head. My husband Shannon had a son named Adam, and Adam had a traumatic brain injury when he was about 7 or 8 years old. So he lived to be 40. He died when he was just before he turned 40. And Shannon would take him. He lived in Fort Collins, which is about an hour and less than 2 hours away from where we are. So he'd go get him and he'd bring him back. He lived in a home with a caregiver. And he was a funny guy. He was a funny guy. But he goes, Adam and I are driving to Fort Collins, and Adam asked me a question about something, and I said, I don't know. And he said, Adam said, well, you should know. And I think about that, and I can hear it, and that's exactly how Adam would say it. You should know. That's an assumption, right? Not that he would know what an assumption was, but But it just kind of made me laugh. But that's how we deal with people close to us. You should know. You should know what I need. You should know why I'm not talking to you right now. Why you made me mad because you didn't know what I needed. I mean, it's funny, man. We just tie these ropes around ourselves, don't we? But now let's look at the other thing. There's more than one, but the other big thing that happens in relationships, and where assumption is concerned, and that's when we assume we have the right to change another person, or the right to jump in and save other people because we have judged them or their circumstances to be wrong. And in assuming that they are wrong, we are assuming that we know better. And we never do. We can't. We can't. Every person is in their own sacred and individual evolution. Stuart Wilde wrote, "Finally, the universal law is in balance and harmony by its very nature. Whatever you create will have to be for yourself. You cannot will the universal law onto others, saying, 'I want this to happen to my friend.' This would be infringing, because not knowing the nature of your friend's heroic life plan, you are not entitled to change it or in any way alter what he's going through at this time. He has to experience life for himself, as he also has unlimited power within him. And part of his growth pattern is discovering that fact. Within the universal law, there is no dual energy. Good and bad, saints and sinners, there is just energy. One power that pervades all things, and everything is a part of the power. Differentiation between good and evil is just your perception. For within real energy, there is no judgment. But you cannot judge others, because since the energy your mind perceives does not incorporate the nature of their heroic goal, you have no way of knowing what they are going through, that what they're going through is not exactly what they need karmically for their growth at this infinite point in their evolution. There are no accidents or victims. Each person is responsible for his own evolution. Each pulls to himself the circumstances experienced in life. He puts in an order, so to speak, and gets back three cracked cups. That's part of the learning pattern, trial and error. This lifetime is yours. You may be involved in relationships and love others, but basically what you make of your life and how you pass through it is your evolution. We all learn to take responsibility for our own circumstances, and within the universal law, we are not expected to take responsibility for the evolution of others. It might sound a bit harsh, but in the law, there is incredible clarity and justice. That's why adversity is so useful. It allows people to look for something beyond day-to-day reality, and this brings them in touch with their true inner selves. In desperation, they begin to pull on their unlimited power, and they realize that anything can be changed, that suffering is a product of the inner self, and by looking at their inner selves, they can transform them." And that's from his book, Miracles. And what he is referring to as the inner self is the self concept. Same thing. Neville said, "Concept of self is all that you accept and consent to as yourself." And he wrote a lot about self-concept, Neville did. You know, how you feel about yourself determines all that you can and cannot have in your experience. How you feel about yourself determines all that you can and cannot have in your experience. Whatever you desire exists within you, because you're the individualization of source. You are self-contained and self-complete. But the human mind believes that it's separate from source, that the outer world is real, and that it is limited, that it, meaning the human mind, is limited because of the outer world, that the outer world, anything outside of it, has power over it. And there is no power external to us. None. None. Reverend Dyke said no one can ever be greater than their own self-concept. The limitations of the human mind must be overcome if you want to have a greater experience. You are the center of your world, and everything in it shows you what you believe. You may not think so, but that is empowering. That is empowering. It may sound daunting, but that's empowering. It's you. The only thing you have control over is yourself, and you can change the way you think, and therefore you can change anything in your experience. All that God is, you are. The kingdom of heaven is within you. You are not small, and whatever beliefs you hold that make you feel small are lies. Are lies. They are error. If you want more in your life, you have to be more, because your self-concept dictates your experience. We attract what we are, what we think, and what we believe. So we have to think and believe in alignment with what we want to have, what we want to be, and what we want to give to the world. So looking at assumption and self-concept, Ruiz wrote, "We make the assumption that everyone sees life the way we do. We assume that others think the way we think, feel the way we feel, judge the way we judge, and abuse the way we abuse. This is the biggest assumption that humans make, and this is why we have a fear of being ourselves around others. Because we think everyone else will judge us, victimize us, abuse us, and blame us as we do ourselves. So even before others have a chance to reject us, we've already rejected ourselves. That's the way the human mind works." That is one of the most powerful things I think I've ever read. It's incredibly profound. And it took a minute to soak it in when I first read it. But then I got it, because I had this instant flashback of holiday gatherings at my brother's house. And this was years ago, years ago. And being at these gatherings and feeling so uncomfortable, because I lived a much different, I've always lived a much different life than he and his wife did, and or do, actually. And my perception was, the reason why I was uncomfortable was because my perception was that they had done, quote unquote, everything right. They met in college, they got married, they've been married now. I think we're going on, well, they've been married over 40 years. But anyway, and, you know, they have two kids, and their kids went to private schools, and, you know, all that stuff. But that was my perception. They did it right, and I didn't. And I was, you know, because I was, and still am, a square peg that followed my heart, and still do. Still do. My brother and I have always been fine, but my sister-in-law had really hard, fast opinions of what was right and wrong. And I certainly didn't measure up to it. So I felt less than acceptable. And again, this is all on me, right? I am not that person anymore. Thank God we live lifetimes in our lifetime, because I left that girl in the past a while ago. But that just brings the doubt to mind. Seek other people's approval and you'll be their prisoner. That's the truth of it. That's what that discomfort was. I was seeking their approval. Or the thing is I thought I didn't have it. And as it turns out, on many levels, I didn't. But as me, as myself, I did. You know, I did. Anyway, that's a weird way to say it. But as I said, that was years ago. And now I celebrate my square-peggedness, if you can call it that. I do. I'm who I am. I and I'm completely comfortable and I'm completely myself when I'm with them. And again, my brother and I have always gotten along really well, but in looking at this and having this example come into my head again, I also realize that the judgment that I felt was also me judging her. The judgment I felt from her or in the situation toward me, again, I manufactured, but also it was me judging, judging the situation. And that whole experience was one of assumption and judgment. And it was all dictated by my self-concept, by my self-concept. And I just want to read that paragraph from that little brief paragraph from Ruiz again. We make the assumption that everyone sees life the way we do. We assume that others think the way we think, feel the way we feel, judge the way we judge, and abuse the way we abuse. This is the biggest assumption that humans make. And this is why we have a fear of being ourselves around others, because we think everyone else will judge us, victimize us, abuse us, and blame us as we do ourselves. So even before others have a chance to reject us, we've already rejected ourselves. That's the way the human mind works. Wow. Wow, that is just food for thought. Neville wrote concerning concerning self-concept. He wrote, consciousness is one, manifesting in legions of forms or levels of consciousness. There is no person that is not all that is. For consciousness, though expressed in an infinite series of levels, is not divisional. There is no real separation or gap in consciousness. I am, capital I am, God, cannot be divided. I may conceive myself to be a rich man, a poor man, a beggar man, or a thief, but the center of my being remains the same, regardless of the concept I hold of myself. I am is that which, amid unnumbered forms, is ever the same. This is the great discovery of cause. This great discovery of cause reveals that, good or bad, man is actually the arbiter of his own fate, and that it is his concept of himself that determines the world in which he lives, and his concept of himself is his reactions to life. When you know that consciousness is the one and only reality, conceiving itself to be something good, bad, or indifferent, and becoming that which it conceived itself to be, you are free from the tyranny of second causes, free from the belief that there are causes outside of your own mind that can affect your life. In the state of consciousness of the individual is found the explanation of the phenomena of life. If man's concept of himself were different, everything in his world would be different. His concept of himself being what it is, everything in his world must be as it is. And that's from the book, The Power of Awareness. So Stuart wrote, chapter two of the Tao says, it is because everyone under heaven recognizes beauty as beauty that the idea of ugliness exists. And equally, if everyone recognized virtue as virtue, this would merely create fresh conceptions of wickedness. For truly, being and non-being grow out of one another. He said, think about it. If you don't judge and don't criticize, what you're saying is, I'm infinite and I let people be. And that's from the infinite self. Well, when we judge by appearances, again, it's the human mind. It's our filters. It's our preconceived ideas that come to the forefront. We have no idea what it is like, what it is. We have no idea about them. What, as Stuart said, their heroic journey. Every person is in their own evolution, in their own individual heroic quest as incarnated beings. But no one is missing the God factor, because that they're just, you know, we're all just the suits, the vehicles for Source to realize itself in the physical. But when we look at someone, say someone that is wealthy, right? And we think, wow, they've just got everything. Well, there's something that they're here to work on, right? We really have no idea what it would be like to walk in their shoes, or what it is like to walk in their shoes. And so, you know, thinking about that, there's always something. There's always something. You know, maybe they have a lot of money, but maybe they're just not happy. Maybe something went wrong at some point that they can't get past. Or maybe they're not as healthy as they want to be. Or maybe they don't have great relationships. We can't, you know, again, we don't know. We don't know. But like he says, if you don't judge or don't criticize, what you're saying is, I'm infinite and I let people be. So I'm just going to end with one last bit from Ruiz on the third agreement. The way to keep yourself from making assumptions is to ask questions. Make sure the communication is clear. If you don't understand, ask. Have the courage to ask questions until you are as clear as you can be. And even then, do not assume you know all there is to know about a given situation. Once you hear the answer, you'll not have to make assumptions, because you'll know the truth. With clear communication, all of your relationships will change, not only with your partner, but with everyone else. I like it when he says, have the courage to ask questions. That's a big deal, isn't it? You know, it's like, it's because in come all these other judgments. If I have to ask a question about that, what will the person think that I'm asking the question to? You know, that I don't know anything, that I'm insecure. I mean, everything, there's just more to every single thing, isn't there? To everything. But really, it does take courage to ask questions. But when you do, you know what the deal is. And also, when you're assuming something and you don't know what the deal is, your feet are off the ground. You know, you're not nailed down. You can't make progress because you don't know. When you ask a question and you get an answer, whether you like it or not, you've gotten an answer and you can go from there. So, you know, good advice, right? But on that note, I feel like our exploration of don't make assumptions is complete. I hope you find it valuable or found it valuable. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way that you listen to the world. Have a very blessed week, and please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Thanks, everyone. Goodbye.